It's time for the Mr. Sports and Ron Fantone Show on ESPN 94.7. Call the show now at 330-744-0947. Now, here are your hosts, Mr. Sports and Ron Fantone.
Hey, we have a great guest in the studio. Fantone, you got me on three or one?
Yes, you're good.
I guess I'm on one.
You're good.
Okay. We've got Eric Ryan in from
Don't worry about what I do over
here. Hey,
just be quiet
over there.
Just talk.
Terry Kletter was just on. Paul Finch commented. He goes, damn, she is cute. Of course, everyone looks cute next to Fantone.
Come on.
There you go, Paulie.
Nobody,
hey!
Nobody said that.
A little bit of that.
Nobody said that.
It's right there. It's on social media for thousands to see.
Let me see it.
No, because you'll make a derogatory.
No, you know
you will see it when you get off air.
I won't.
Eric's like, what the hell's going on in here? My brother Eric, right? I have
What's
not seen
up?
You in ages.
I know, too long.
Do one time for me. You and Lauren Lindvig do the Sweeney. Come on.
On Market Street.
Yeah.
Headboard.
All right, there we go. Yeah. There we go.
I got so sick of that freaking commercial.
Oh, I believe it, man.
I'm just kidding.
Yeah,
I'm just kidding,
no.
Brother.
No, you guys were everywhere. You and Lauren developed a really close friendship.
Yeah, she's great. She's great.
She is.
You know, when Doug Sweeney first asked me to do it, or do these commercials, I'm like, I'm a concert promoter. That's
right,
I do. But I ended up saying, and he says, you'll really start to know that, you know, a lot of people had at times noticed who I was because I was my big fat face was in the paper a lot,
mm-hmm.
you know, with the Covelli Center and how quickly it turned to like not really being the Covelli Center guy,
yeah.
more being the Sweeney guy because of the how often they ran those commercials. It was crazy.
But it was something everybody remembers.
It worked for them.
It
was effective, yeah.
Yeah. yeah. Now they've sold to Cochran since, but
right.
Really great for you. So I'm talking to Eric off air, and I haven't seen him in a long time, and I take a picture with him, and I still dwarf next to this guy. Dude, you are a big cat.
A big man, yeah.
How tall are you?
6'6".
And what do you weigh?
I have a very handsome fat face.
No,
250 plus a few.
You
pounds.
Look good though. You
thank
look good.
Nah.
Yeah, you still
you.
Got your hair. I don't know how, being in this industry. I'm telling. So we were talking off air. You've been doing it since 1998, dude. Almost 30 years.
Yeah,
it's extraordinary.
Yeah, we started Southbridge Billiards, which was 98, and then the cellar was about 2000. You know, when we started, you know, in the music industry in really 2000. So.
Do you still enjoy it or no?
I do when it sells well.
Pressure.
Yeah, I do. I wish, you know, one thing you find out real quick when you're promoting shows on the promoting side, that if you promote with your heart, it's not the best thing. You have to promote more with
exactly.
with your brain and what makes sense. And so that is the only part that I don't enjoy. What I do enjoy is going to the events or the shows that we have and seeing people that you know or might not know, just having the time of their life, you know, making memories. And truly, that is still like the biggest high I get.
And you know, we're going to talk about some of your great past shows. I got a couple stories down there going to some of Eric's shows over the years and some of the future shows coming up and everywhere in the future. But also, I want to ask you about, you know, behind the scenes and everything. You talked about selling well and everything. So is it a process where it's like you go out, you say, I want an Elton John, I want a Rod Stewart. You know they're going to be terribly expensive, and you know you have to sell so many things. What goes into that? What do you see as viable? Is it based on seating capacity or whatnot? Because now you have the outside amphitheater, you have the interior of the Covelli Center, and you do some work with Packard as well.
Yeah, great question. You know, a lot of people think that we just sit back and decide who's coming and when they're coming, and that's just not the case. I mean, if there is a show out there that plays in a 6,000 seat or has any interest in playing in a 6,000 seat arena,
mm-hmm.
we're bidding it.
Right.
Or somebody we know is bidding it.
Okay.
Okay. There is an offer out to get them to come to Youngstown. And the same thing with Packard Music Hall. If there's a 2,200 seat and they're interested in playing, we're putting offers in for them to play. And the same thing with 5,000 seat amphitheater and the Youngstown Foundation Amphitheater. So what we do is we put offers in, and if the show is out there, we're putting an offer in. Now, if you have a show out there that's playing 30 dates, they may decide they want to play Cleveland or Pittsburgh, which you know, if they're playing a bigger joint, if they're playing Rocket Mortgage Arena, it fits 15,000 people. There's just math, right? I mean, so there's just more tickets to sell, more beverage to sell, more parking to sell, more. So it's really a business decision, you know, and we put our best foot forward, and there's some things we can get, and there's some things that we can't, and the things that we can try to attract, we hope that they make the decision to come, but we don't make that final decision. We can only put an offer out there and say, hey, we want you to come. This is what we could pay you. This is what a deal could look like. And if we're in the realm, we get it. Sometimes, you know, we don't.
Let me ask you this. Is there still a proximity thing to where they could add on to a current concert tour? Let's say, and I'm just going to throw a name out. Let's say Pat Benatar's coming to concert or something.
Yeah.
And Pat Benatar's scheduled for June 15th. All right, and you did your homework on this a long time ago. And Pat Benatar's playing in Cleveland on June 15th. Could Eric Ryan at Covelli grab Pat Benatar and say, hey, can you play our venue the very next night or two nights later? Is that how that works? Is it a proximity thing?
Well, that's routing. Yes.
Yeah.
But
that's
but,
the word I was looking
but
for.
But the biggest misconception is never are they going to play Cleveland or Pittsburgh and Youngstown.
Oh.
They're not going to play... if they play Youngstown, they're not playing Cleveland or Pittsburgh.
Right.
And that's an argument that we have all the time with agents and managers. And we say, we're our own market. We could stand on our own. You could play Cleveland and still play us. You could play Pittsburgh and still play us.
Right.
Unfortunately, our friends in Cleveland and Pittsburgh don't feel that way. Because
they get mad at you.
Well, they say, no, if you're going to play Pittsburgh, you're not playing Youngstown.
Because they want to draw the Youngstown people
correct,
to their venue.
Because Youngstown people will drive, right? And, you know, we've also done the same. We get a lot of out-of-market people that come to our events as well. So you're right if it's Detroit and Reading, PA.
Okay.
But you're not right if it's Cleveland or Pittsburgh. That's the biggest misconception. Now, at the club level, back in the day at the Cellar, absolutely, right?
Right.
You could do that. But at the level of which we play now, no. Cleveland and Pittsburgh, either they're going to play one of the three on this on that particular routing on that particular tour. Now, I just talked to somebody yesterday that was a massive artist is playing October or playing September in Pittsburgh, October in Cleveland, and then we're talking about them in May.
And so, you're not going to tell us who it is, are you?
No, I'm not going to tell you, but but that could happen because, and then we're talking about them, really, this is for our Y Live, because they're going to play both of those two, which are far enough apart, that and two major markets, that they'll play them, they won't play us, but maybe on the next leg, they'll play us.
Wow, that's fascinating. So when you go to get the, and you, sometimes like with a major artist, you're spending buku numbers of dollars. You had Rod Stewart in.
Mm-hmm.
I do remember that.
Right.
How'd that go for you?
Great. Sold out.
It sold out. All right. And you have to adjust the ticket prices accordingly because based on seating capacity and everything.
Correct.
And you're always going to hear people complain, oh, that's outrageous. That's great. But they still go and buy the tickets and everything. So I'm curious because I really don't know. You've been doing this forever. Somebody with a name of that magnitude and a legendary iconic status, what type of money, if you don't mind me asking, do you have to shell out and then recoup in ticket sales?
Well, I can't tell you what kind of money.
I can tell you back in the day I used to have some access to some of the numbers, but that was a long time
ago. Yes, it's significant, you know, and it's significant amount of money. I mean, you know, when you're talking about overall budgets for the shows at the arena, I mean, you're talking anywhere between, you know, $300,000 and $600,000, $700,000. So you're talking about a significant amount of money, and you're talking about a significant amount of risk. See, the thing is that any show that happens in any of the venues that we manage, or you know, we're growing outside. You know, we're outside the markets, which we consider, you know, basically the Mahoning Valley, and we'll do 50 concerts in 12 states this year. any one of those shows, there's always somebody, and there's always a promoter taking the risk. Now, we're not always, you know, at the Covelli Center or at the Amphitheater, we're not always the ones taking the risk. There's other, you know, national promoters that come in and take the risk. But, I mean, you're talking about a significant amount of risk. And when you think about, I mean, we live our lives with ticket sales.
Right.
And now, especially with all-in ticketing, you know, now we've gone to all-in ticketing, which, so when you go, you see that final price.
Mm-hmm.
We do everything we can to keep the ticket price down, to keep them affordable.
Right.
But it's all relative to what the show is costing you.
Absolutely. And it's extraordinary. So you negotiate, and you have people bidding against you, trying to get them away from you and everything. There's
correct.
A lot that goes on to it. So you have that overhead. You mentioned six figures easily for a major act.
Right.
And then all of that goes into it. And another thing, they have, riders on the contract, too, where they want specific things. I remember years ago at the old B&B backstage, Pat Benatar wanted her own washing machine. You know, special linen sheets.
Yeah.
Donnie Iris might want, at the time, Iron City beer. Or whatever, but everybody has their own thing. Did you find working with some of the major acts to be tedious and rather like, are you kidding me? Or have most of them been pretty accommodating with
you? I think most of them have been pretty accommodating. You don't see that much. You don't see as much of that. But sure, they want they're very specific on the production. If they're not carrying it, what speakers you're using, what this and that, and then backstage catering. You know, the one thing that as you get into it, you start to realize is that these tours, and especially when they're on tour, like there is no home. You're their home for the day. So we've really prided ourselves and like going over and beyond to make the artist and the crew and the roadies and all of that.
You got to
have
all
a great
people.
Great day. Yeah, I mean, have a great day, and to get them what they like and what they want. I mean, it isn't like they could just whip up their own breakfast this morning or lunch in the afternoon. So. There are some riders that are more difficult than others, but as you get into it and you start to deal with these people and realize that like she may have wanted her own washer because she don't have a damn washer, right?
Yeah, that's
right. And so
she's
like she must be able to wash her clothes.
Yeah, right.
You know, or have somebody wash her clothes
exactly.
for her. So you some of those things, of course you've heard the what is it, the blue M&M or yellow M&M story?
And
some bottles of wine that we've put in dressing rooms are ridiculous. some of the other requests are sort of out there. But for the most part, most of them just want, they want some good meals. They want some, good drinks in their dressing room, and they want to be able to come and have a good day.
Eric, in addition to paying these major acts and paying the roadies and the stagehands and all the employees at Covelli Center and everything, you're also responsible. You got to fly these guys in, right?
Right.
And then you got to put them up in a hotel lodging, and then you got to feed them.
Right.
It's like, oh my God.
Right.
I mean, really. I mean, do you jumble numbers in your head at pre and advance? And have you ever gone over budget and say, oh, my God, this is costing me much more than I originally anticipated?
Oh, absolutely. And
so what do you do in that case?
Well, you hope you sell enough tickets.
Right.
You know, we haven't made a living on losing money on shows. But I mean, it happens. I mean, you know, sometimes you think something's going to do. And even on the... You know, on the level of the, if you think it's going to, your break even is 3,500 or 4,000 people, and sometimes you do 2,500 people, and then guess what? You know, everybody's getting paid, and you got to be able to, it's like going to Vegas every day. At the end of the day, it's just like going to Vegas, man. You're going to, what I like about it, we can bet on what we believe will work, that's why some of the times I'll say to somebody, they'll say, well, have you done so and so? You know, if you're somebody that likes jazz, okay, and they say, well, no, I didn't like that jazz artist. I'm like, well, if you like jazz, you should come support that show,
right? Exactly.
Because we need success stories, and a lot of people don't realize that. If people say, why do you do so much country?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you want to know why we do so much country? Because there isn't a country agent There isn't a country manager.
Wow.
There isn't a country artist out there that doesn't know that Youngstown buys country tickets.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Look
and
how big K105 is.
Yeah. And so people come, and the same thing with classic rock, you know, for so long, you know, and for so long we were such a classic rock and we still are a market, and we're a rock market. You know, but you have to continue to have great shows, because what happens is the first thing they say, what's your history? If you're trying to do a rap show, they'll say, what's your history?
Yeah.
Or you know, any genre. And they'll say, what's your history? And their history means how many tickets were on sale, how many tickets did you sell, and how did the show do?
Mm-hmm.
How did the show perform? And so the first thing they want to know is like artist. So the thing that people don't realize is, like, you need those shows and that genre to do good, so you could go and try to attract. Like, why would I go to Youngstown if I could go there, or if I can go somewhere else?
Exactly.
And it does good.
Absolutely. And you know what? When I was working at Y103 in the afternoon, knowing the 5 o'clock traffic jam, it never would fail. Eric would always call me, Sports, what do you think about Joe Walsh? What do you think about Joe Walsh? What do you think? And he'd run axe by me. Go get Joe Walsh. Go get him. And you would never take my advice.
We did get Joe Walsh.
You finally got him. After all these, I said, damn, Eric goes and gets him now when I'm not doing it. But you asked me for years about Joe Walsh, and I just thought he had great appeal here. But again, it's not my money. It's not my dollar. You're the one taking the risk. Hey, we're going to take a break. We're coming back with the great Eric Ryan from the Covelli Center. We'll talk about the outdoor amphitheater. We'll talk about some of his work with Packard, some of his great memories of past shows, and some of the current shows coming up too when we return on Mr. Sports and Ron Fantone right here on ESPN 94.7.
You're on.
Hey, we're back. Mr. Sports, Ron Fantone. I just haven't seen Eric Ryan in so long. It's just so good to see his happy face. No, he's a great
guy.
It's a great guy. I've known him forever. Eric, if I were to ask you, you've been doing it, you mentioned since 1998, for a small list, or maybe one hand, of, in your opinion, the 5 most awesome shows that you put on, what are the shows that come immediately to mind that you'll never forget? Oh, my God, we did this.
Come on. Elton John, number one.
Oh, my God.
I mean, both shows with Elton John. That was really, that really catapulted us.
How'd you get him here, first of all? It's Sir Elton John.
Yes. Very long story, icon. But it may or may have not have started in a bar in Los Angeles when I sent the manager a drink on Youngstown, Ohio, and everybody around me was looking like you're crazy. And I said, guaranteed sellout. Guaranteed sellout.
Wow.
At such and such a ticket. And then I pestered him for quite a while. And one day... I was leaving work and about 8:30 at night, and I got a text, and he says, "Is such and such date available?"
Oh,
that was
did you go nuts?
Nuts.
Yeah.
But you know, that was really I would say. I mean, Elton John number one was just it just put Youngstown on a map.
And he praised your facility.
Yes, he loved it. He absolutely
so
loved
much so
it.
He came back for a repeat performance.
And he was obviously good friends with our friends at Live Nation and the Belkins back in the day, and so that was cool when he announced them up on stage, which was amazing. I mean, Kid Rock at Ween Park was absolutely ridiculous, you know, for Y Live 2 years ago.
Right.
That was, you know, 23,000 people in downtown Youngstown.
Oh, my God.
It's something I'll never forget. You know, Florida Georgia Line was our first sellout at YSU when we were doing Y Live there, which was really incredible. I mean, it's really tough. There's so many. I mean, Joe Walsh at Packard Music Hall was...
How was that
was
for you?
Really, really cool.
Because I'd advocated for so many years, and he goes and does it when, you know, I leave Y103, so go figure. But it worked.
You should have hit me up.
I was right. I was right. And by the way, Eric promised me free tickets whenever I want them.
That's right.
And I will not abuse my privilege.
I ain't telling you where they're at, but they're free.
You'll have to find them.
Find them, yeah.
It'd be like, I'll go to Will Call. You got 2 for Mr. Sports?
Yeah.
I don't got nothing for you. I got nothing for you. He turned away at the window. Sorry. And Eric will take, he'll block me on the cell phone so I can't call him and try to claim tickets and everything.
The Tim McGraw show comes to my mind at Covelli was really good. And then, you know, I just can never stop going back to the Clark's days at the Cellar. I mean, still some of those Shine Down for crying out loud at the Cellar. Bobby Blue Bland from blues when we used to do a bunch of blues and Tangled Up in Blues with Cornell and Tangled Up in Blues. So a lot of those Cellar shows were, you know, we had 114 Cellar, as you know, I mean, back in the day, shows that sold out, 114 shows we sold out over 8 years at the Cellar, which was
in Struthers. I went to a lot of Eric's shows over the years, and I gotta tell you, always like just a great production and really amazing, behind the scenes and watch Eric work. And he was always so nice. He'd always come over and shake my hand and put his arm around me and everything. I want to tell you a crazy story, okay? You know Eddie Panuti.
Oh, yeah.
In front of mine. And hopefully Ed's not listening to this. So I went to one of his shows. I think it might have been at the Cellar.
Might have been.
And he has a Rock and Roll Hall of Famer on there. Former member of the band Traffic. Dave Mason. We Just Disagree.
Yes.
And of course, with Steve Winwood and those guys.
It's one of my favorites.
So I get there. Eddie's in a bad mood. I took two of my friends. He goes, how many you got, sports? Eddie and I are great friends. Let me. He was in a bad mood. He met me at the door. He goes, how many you got? Where do you want to sit? And I said, well, we want to sit up front. I said, it's Dave Mason. You're going to introduce the band. That's what, I said, Eddie, everything okay? He goes, nah, me and Dave Mason are having problems. And I said, what's wrong? He goes, he wants to play an hour earlier. Then I scouted. And Eddie goes to me and he goes, I can't let him do that because I got people. For example, Dave Mason said he wanted to play at 8. He was scheduled for 9. Mm-hmm. Okay, it was on a Friday night or Saturday night or whatnot. And Eddie goes, well, I can't let you do that because I got people wandering in, and you're already underway. So Mason looks at him and says, I start at 8 or I leave now. So Panuti's squirming as a concert promoter.
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
Okay, this is a true story. I was there. I saw this. And I'm watching. I was like, oh, my God. Eddie gives him like $8,000 or something like that in cash. Dave Mason throws the cash back at him. He goes, I don't want your money. I am playing at 8. And all these $20 bills and 50s are floating through the air on the stage. Okay? So Eddie relents. And Eddie Panuti looks at Dave Mason. He goes, all right, you guys go do your warm-up. You start at 8. So the band comes out, maybe 6:30 or something. Dave Mason band. And they do the warm-up. Panuti. He's crazy. He's a crazy Italian guy. This is why I love the cat. He goes to Dave Mason. He goes, okay, you're done with your warm-up. You will play at 9 as originally scheduled. I keep your equipment as collateral. And Mason, I never did get to MC it, stormed by, played at 9 o'clock, was ticked off the entire night, all because of a dispute over a starting time. That's a true story.
Yeah.
And Mason threw $8,000 worth of cash, bills floating all over there. He goes, I don't need your money. I don't care. Have you ever had tough stories with bands? We talk about all the highlights and everything. Disappointments like that night in your career? I'm sure you have.
Oh, I...
You may not want to mention the act, but... Or
I
you
mean,
may.
Yeah.
Which would even be better for
a
show.
I had a particular artist sold out that didn't want to get on stage. And I won't name the name. That didn't want to get on stage until they were high enough. And we were about ready to lose the crowd. I mean, it was a younger crowd, and they thought this person wasn't there. They thought they were not there, and so we called for backup. Was supposed to be on stage at 8 o'clock. Did not get on stage till 10:15, and got on stage only because I went and beat on their bus. And threatened that they would not get out of the city, and we weren't going to pay them. We had another artist that was scheduled to play at 7, or scheduled to play at 8, get on stage 8:30, and at 3:30 in the afternoon, my son calls me and says, Dad, is so-and-so playing? And I said, what do you mean? He says, it's all over Snapchat and Instagram that they are at the ACC championship football game or the SEC in Georgia right now.
Oh, my God.
I said, what do you mean? He sent me videos. It's literally 4:30, and they're showing them on the sidelines. And so we go to the manager, and we're like, what's going on? Like, I mean,
panic.
I mean, we're trying to walk up people right. here. You know, we have 5,200 tickets sold. We're trying to get to 5,800, and you know, blah blah blah. And oh, they're coming. Well, at this time, you could you know their tail number. You know where they're flying in. They're flying into Youngstown.
Right.
You know, so. They end up not landing until 9:15. We end up having to get them a police escort in, and then they came in and they want to go to their dressing room. And I said, "Get your ass on stage right now."
Did you say that? Good for
oh,
you.
Oh no, yeah. And so you know, they didn't get on until 10 o'clock. Those were two of the things that were the stress level was off the charts. But for the most part, I mean, 99.9% of the time, the artists that we're dealing with at the level that we deal with them now. You know, this is what they do for a living.
Have you learned a lot over the years how to deal with all of this? Certainly from the time you started.
Oh, 1,000%.
Take me through the Eric Ryan of the first 5 years to the Eric Ryan of 2025. The difference in how you handle everything now.
Well, I think talk to the people that work with me. I mean, I was, you know, the amount of risk, you know, on the promoting side and even at the club level, you know, it's all relative. You know, the amount of money that you can lose on any given night or the amount of money that you hopefully make, it would be enough to drive some people over the edge. And at times it's been that way with me as well. But I mean, I think now the older you get, now 50 years old, you know, and been doing this for 30 years, you start to realize the sun will come up in the morning.
Right.
And so you do the best you can to get through the issues that you have any given day, you know?
You know, I'm kind of saddened about this. Fantano, I don't know if you've been there, and it was a couple of years ago, and while Michael Stanley, my dear friend, was still living, and Donnie Iris, also a dear friend, you bring him to the outdoor amphitheater together, and everybody I knew was there. They could not believe that I didn't show up. I should have hit up Eric for free tickets, picked that. I regret it. But so you do the outdoor amphitheater. Now, this has been in existence for a handful of years now, and you've already brought some great acts there.
Yeah.
Whose concept was that, and how did that come to be?
Well, the amphitheater was something that we had really wanted to do, just to be able to do some community things and mix in some of these national acts. And you know, that was something that we were able to go out and raise the funding with the city of Youngstown and to sort of make it happen. The Youngstown Foundation, really helped in that thing. And we have the Ween Foundation helps. And, you know, we have Huntington Bank that's involved and some other things. So, you know, it's really turned out to be a great concert venue for the summer months, you know. Unfortunately, you know, in Northeast Ohio, the weather isn't the best in the spring, and, you know, maybe sometimes I think it's better in the fall.
What's your capacity on the outdoor amphitheater?
4,500.
Wow.
Yeah.
And on the indoor, it's at the Covelli Center?
6,000. And,
okay.
You know, up to 7,200 if it's playing in around, like Sebastian Maniscalco. You know, we just did him. We did 7,200 people, but he was a comedian, and we played in around, you know, all the way 360, which most concerts are kind of a 180 front of the stage.
Right.
Yeah, but
we're going to take a break. I got many more questions for Eric. He's a guy that's very difficult to try to pin down for just 1 hour worth of questioning because there's so much I could run by him. Plus, I haven't seen him in a long time. Mr. Sports and Ron Fantone right here on ESPN 94.7. U.S. Open Golf in progress at the Oakmont. We'll also update you on that coming up next. Oh, my God. I love talking to Eric Ryan. He just gave me a copy of the Get Downtown event schedule. What do you guys hear some of this? But before we go there with Eric Ryan, you, me, and Fantone have something big in common. We are long-suffering Cleveland Browns fans.
Yes, we are.
What the
die
hell?
Diehard.
Do you think the quarterback room's too nutty this year? I think people are making too much guff about
it. I think they're making too much of it. I think, you know, we got Shador for a steal, and if it don't work, well, you know how many fifth round draft picks we've screwed up,
yeah,
let alone first
yeah.
round draft picks.
Absolutely.
I think it's house money. It's like trying to hit the lotto.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't quite understand either why they drafted both these guys.
Dylan Gabriel in round three, yeah.
That was the shock. But, you know, if you would have told me that we this year's draft we would have four starters, in which we do,
mm-hmm.
we do. I mean, we have a starting tight end. We have a starting defensive lineman, you know, and Graham. I mean, if you look at what we have, and if we end up getting that, it could be – you know, Andrew Berry's best draft ever. And again, I'm a typical Browns fan.
He's struggled in the draft.
He has struggled.
You got Njoku at tight end, but Fannin, you know, out of Bowling Green is expected to be one of those guys that could take it.
And you also plus, have that extra number one pick from next year now.
Right, and Stefanski likes double tight ends anyway.
Boy, we're typical Browns fans, right?
I know. Always optimistic.
My family, we have done this. There's 27 of us. We watch the game together every day, every Sunday, every game. We go to my son's house now to watch it, and we have a group text. And every time this year, somebody changed it to Believe Land, and it's normally four or five games that it's either the Factory of Sadness, you know.
I know. I know. And don't you think, and tell me if I'm wrong here, I think Pittsburgh Steelers fans are the most obnoxious.
Unbelievable.
Don't you think?
Well,
Eric, have you faced that? Because they know you love the Browns and it hurts you so much that they want to rub your nose in it like a dog, you know, that just
like
poo-poo on the carpet.
Yeah.
I would tell you this. I think they are simply the most spoiled fan base.
There you go.
And especially because we have to deal with them here because, you know, I think there's probably more Steelers fans, unfortunately, than Browns fans.
You could be
because,
right on
you know, we've stunk for so long that the, you know, younger generation just doesn't understand it like we did growing up. I mean, my dad, God rest his soul, when he passed away, we had a Jim Brown jersey in the we put a Jim Brown jersey in the guy. I mean, he was he was an absolute diehard and a nut. But I think that, you know, I think like the average Steelers fan, and especially, and I mean a lot of them are my you know, obviously great friends. But it's like, man, do you know how good you've had it? You know, somebody said something. I said, oh, what a shame. Oh, you're searching for a quarterback, you know?
Yeah,
like, I don't know what that's like.
Exactly. Do you think Aaron Rodgers is going to have a great year in Pittsburgh?
I mean, he probably will because he's going to the Steelers.
I know.
And then the Steelers get our two Ohio State, you know.
Will Howard.
And Jack Sawyer.
Sawyer might be my favorite Buckeye of all time, but you know, he probably will. He'll probably go there and tear it up.
Yeah,
you know what I always say about the Steelers? I mean, think about it. They have Ben Roethlisberger, who's going 70 mile an hour on the freeway,
exactly,
and head goes through the windshield. He's playing the next week, right?
Yes,
we have Kellen Winslow Jr., who's on a motorcycle in a parking lot, in all accounts, going 7-10 mile an hour, hits the curb, blows out his knees, never the same. That is the difference
between
the organization.
Well, he just summed it up in two incidents right there.
And it has just continued. And I just, you know, we haven't done anything to help ourselves. I got the pleasure of knowing Baker. I went to the Kentucky Derby with him back in 2020. And
how was he to you?
He was amazing. He was amazing. We had a very small group, and we flew down there together. And I was just a passenger in the whole thing, but he was great. His wife Emily was fantastic with my wife April, and we got together a few times, and you know we would text back and forth, and he was just a really, really good dude, and he was like, he was our quarterback, you know, so obviously that really hurt a lot of us. And then I don't know. I mean, I get it. I get the running back situation, but
you're talking about Chubb.
Nick Chubb. But then we rush him back, which he was. I mean, he rushed back to come back next year.
He did.
He wasn't himself. But I still have faith that, you know, I hope he goes to Houston and
tears it up.
Tears it up. Yeah.
Did you see? Did you guys happen to see yesterday? And I looked online. It was the first glimpse of Nick Chubb in a Texans uniform,
number 21.
Yeah. Sickening.
That was hard to watch.
Yeah. Hard to watch.
And so painful with the Texans helmet on.
I mean, okay, draft one, but the draft two. But who knows? Maybe they know some. I hope it's not. I hope he goes to Houston and has a fantastic. Yeah.
You like Joe Flacco? I do.
Oh, I mean, who doesn't? I mean,
a couple years ago, he caught this. He caught fire in a bottle here.
Yeah, and why we didn't? You know, I guess last year, you know, if you think about it, they just didn't want Deshaun to go out in the first series to go 0-2, and then them be Browns fans be booing him and yelling Flacco. That's why they didn't bring him back last year.
There's no doubt about it.
Obviously, they brought him back this year. The Kenny Pickett thing, we'll see what happens with that. But I just don't believe that the over-under is 4 games or something. I think we should take the over. But you know what? This is typical of us.
Yeah. Exactly. I don't say anything. I've learned to keep my mouth shut. I remember when they traded for Odell Beckham, and Mayfield's coming off a sensational rookie campaign, and Dorsey was calling the shots, and they got Beckham, they got Olivier Vernon, and they signed Kareem Hunt, who was going to come off. I'm like, oh my God! I said, watch out, Steelers! Boy, did I eat crow that year? So I shut my mouth. Yeah. I never get overhyped on that. One of the things I want to talk to you about, first of all, like you talked about working with these bands, and is there anybody in the entertainment industry, some big names, Eric, that you mentioned hanging out with Baker Mayfield and everything, that you became pretty good friends with in your estimation and assessment of the relationship? I mean, really good friends. Like, you can call, like, as soon as you get off the show and say, hey, man, what's up?
I think more, as far as the artists go, mm-hmm. that's not really.
No.
I think... they're here for a day.
Mm-hmm.
They don't necessarily want to, and I've met many of them and have great relationships. But as far as like now a lot of the agents, which matter to me, and managers that matter to me a little bit more, I have lots of those and at least a couple handfuls of really good friends that I've made through the years.
Get downtown event schedule. I'm going to read off some of these to you. Feel free to comment, okay? I'm just reading. And there's many more, by the way. All right.
Riley Green, we just had, was ridiculous.
Just great.
It was sold out in about 5 minutes. It was last Thursday at the amphitheater. Absolutely off the charts. The show could have sold 25,000 tickets, and we had them in a 4,500 seat amphitheater.
So you already had Hope Conference, Riley Grant, right. Lita Ford, Coheed and Cambria,
which is a rock show, and it did really well last Sunday.
A Party on the Lawn featuring Idora and the Wildcats.
Yeah, unfortunately, we got rained out on that one.
Simply Slavic.
Yeah, that's this weekend. Simply Slavic.
Wow.
Festival, which it will be Saturday and Sunday. Come downtown and. Get some halushki.
Halushki. I like that. So, Cash Explosion, June 14th.
Yeah.
How about that?
That's really cool.
Dude.
So the Ohio Lottery's Cash Explosions come. That's inside the arena.
I know people wanted to be on that.
Well, you can. Just come down and put your name in and see what happens.
Juneteenth.
Yeah, so that's a Juneteenth celebration we do every year at the amphitheater.
Beetlejuice movie.
Yeah. Fun for the kids, right?
One of my favorites and a former guest, Rick Springfield, on June 28th.
Yeah. Selling well. Be a great 80s show. Have you seen this guy? He's like...
He looks terrific.
Oh, yeah. My... He looks like you. I mean, he got abs like you.
Yeah, exactly. Look at that.
Yeah, see?
Look at that. Okay, so I met Rick and I interviewed him. First of all, I want to tell you how great he was. Here's the one thing about artists. You could... When you interview them and you're doing spotlights on their career, and I'd ask questions, I would prep about their career, but I would mix their hit songs in between. Anybody could sit there and say, man, I love Jesse's Girl. I loved Affair of the Heart. But when you mention to him that you liked the song that he did in 1988, that's where they light up. That's where they light up and go crazy. Mm-hmm. It's like, you like that one. I said, that's the one. Rock of Life was one of my favorite songs. He goes, dude, that is so cool. And, he's from Australia and everything. Yeah. Just amazing. Here's more shows. Iron Man 1 movie.
Yeah. Yeah. That's at the amphitheater. We do these movie series.
So you're really doing July 4th, fireworks and food trucks.
Yeah. Which is, I don't know if you've seen July 4th, but it's beautiful. Come downtown, plenty of parking. Enjoy the show.
Let me guess, Phantom's involved with that.
Yes, a little bit.
How's the hockey thing going, by the way?
Going great. It goes great, yeah. I mean, they have a great team, great coach, and they need all the support they can get from the community because, when you own a minor league sporting team, as you know, is never easy. But, they're a great organization.
Wicked Movie, July 11th.
Mm-hmm.
Jazz and Wine Festival with Lindsay Webster on July 12th.
Yes.
Goosebumps Movie, that will be on July 14th.
Mm-hmm.
And then Color Run, July 20th. Happy Gilmore movie, July 28th.
Yes.
So everybody packs into Covelli and watches Happy Gilmore?
Well, no, we do this at the...
That'd be great, right? Yeah, it would be funny.
But, you know, these community events are important, and I think sometimes you don't... You know, like, they're free. All those are free.
Right.
Come down and the amphitheater or Ween Park, wherever it may be, and, you know, and enjoy yourself.
Color Run on July 20th.
Yep.
Happy Gilmore movie, July 28th. Wild Robot movie on the August 4th. Monsters, Inc. movie on August 11th. Train with Edwin McCain, August 12th.
There you go.
How about that, dude?
Yeah, that show's selling well. Get your tickets. Go to the Covelli Center website or go to Ticketmaster.com.
August 15th, Date Night, Crazy Stupid Love Movie.
Yeah.
Who comes up with these ideas? Is this you? Is this you trying to be creative and witty?
That's a whole group of people, right, you know, to find a movie.
August 17th, you have another former guest of mine, and the legend, the nightmare of dark music.
Actually,
on stage.
You know Penguin City Beer?
Yeah.
Aspasia, she does that.
Seriously?
Yeah, she does.
She comes up with these creative.
She's always done the movie now. She does a great job.
August 17th, Alice Cooper.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah. Look for him to be golfing somewhere.
Shocking
time,
singer. Welcome
time.
To my nightmare.
Yeah.
Yep. I'm telling you. 18.
That's at the amphitheater.
Panarathon on August 24th.
Always the biggest event we do all year.
Country fans, you're going to love this. August 31st, Brad Paisley.
Yes.
Wow.
That's at the Campfield Fair.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
And Brad's going to, and you're involved with that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we booked Campfield Fair, so that'll be a great show.
September 1st, I assume also at the fair, Leonard Skinner.
Yeah.
Wow.
Who
we had in a concert at the old Yankee Lake. Did you come to our old Yankee Lake jams?
I did.
With
yeah.
ZZ Top, Leonard yeah. Skinner, Ted Nugent.
Yeah.
That was unbelievable.
Yeah.
There were like 12,000 people in Brookfield.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was sick. YMCA Community Cup, September 6th. Oh, Wow, Silly Science Fair on the September 14th. Mudvayne, September 17th.
Let's go.
There's another good one.
Yeah, that's at the Covelli Center.
September 18th, Lee Bryce.
Yeah. Lee Bryce's wife is from Poland, Ohio.
No kidding.
Yeah.
September 20th, Cody Jinks.
Yes. Great show.
And then September 27th, Y Live, Tim McGraw.
Let's go.
Holy cow, dude.
Yeah. Thank you for doing that because, you know, it's a lot of people don't realize how many events we got going on, you know? I mean, we have 12 national acts this summer alone, you know, between the venues and over 25 community events. And, you know, we just hope that many people come out and enjoy themselves.
We're going to take a break. We're going to finish up. We have a couple more minutes left. And, boy, I've really enjoyed talking to Eric Ryan. Thank you to Terry Clutter that preceded him as a guest here on a Thursday with Mr. Sports and Ron Fantone. More after this.
ESPN 94.7 FM, Ron Fantone, Mr. Sports with you this morning and this afternoon. It's about 4 minutes to go here, right?
Yep. I promised an update on the U.S. Open. And I think, I know.
Rory's 392-yard drive.
Whoa. 392?
Holy
mackerel.
I still got that J.J. Spahn at 4 under par, and he is in the clubhouse. So 4 under par, first round for J.J. Spahn. 2-stroke lead over Woo Kim. Also, Detry and Lawrence over there. And you'd mentioned McIlroy, your boy Roy McIlroy. I'm trying to find him. Going down the list. Okay, he's 2 over so far. And he's through 16 holes in round one.
Wow.
So there you go. But a lot of golf. Oakmont, really known for its thick roughs.
Yeah.
Lightning fast greens, slick fairways. Not an easy golf course to play at all.
Not at all.
You ever played Oakmont?
I have not.
Ooh, brutal. Absolutely brutal. Eric Ryan with us. Eric's working on some major shows right now, so stay tuned. So people want to follow what you're up to, Eric, you know, the latest news and everything. How do they best go about that?
Yeah, so you can go to the Covelli Center, Covelli Center website, CovelliCenter.com or PackerMusicHall.com or Youngstown Foundation Amphitheater.com. You can always go to JAC Live or JAC Management Group as well. But, you know... Plenty of things going on this summer and really all year long, and we just, you know, we really appreciate your support, everybody's support, community
Absolutely.
Support, man. I mean, and to be able to come on and talk like this and to talk about our industry and
That's
talk about what we do, it's really cool.
That's
right.
Doesn't it feel like an all-time thing, and you got
it
all
does.
The time you want, and you're not restricted? I mean,
yeah.
That's the advantage right here and what Fantone and I do. And I just got a note from Sharon Allen Clark, who works for Donnie Iverson. She said that Eric's also putting on Wolfstock. Are you doing Woodstock or Wolfstock or something?
Yes.
Or
no?
Yes. What is that about?
Wolfstock?
Is it Wolfstock? I don't know.
I know the team was talking about that. Yeah. I should know more.
Some lady called. Her last name's Wilcox. She got a hold of me, so I'm supposed to call her about that. But you're involved with 9,000 different things. How the hell do you keep track of everything?
That's the problem, yeah.
Can you take a vacation, or you're not allowed to take a vacation?
No, not really. Seriously? That's the one thing. You're really never away. You're never on vacay, right?
This comes from Joe from the band Dirty Little Secrets Cover-Ups. Ask Eric how come he doesn't do more local acts at the amphitheater. All right.
Well, we do. We certainly try.
Yeah.
Yeah. You just need funding to be able to do it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and what I would say is the same thing. Well, when we do have local, come on out,
right?
You know, and support it, even though they may not be your favorite, so we can do more of it,
right?
You know, but that's his first Fridays. We got all local bands. Mm-hmm. We just did RDNA was the first night, and so it's not that we don't want to do it, but somebody has to pay for it.
Absolutely,
you know, we can't, you know, so. We will. We'll try.
There's an answer to that. How much time I got, Fantone?
10 seconds.
10 seconds. We got to go. Eric,
thanks.
Thank you so much,
buddy. Appreciate it.
Eric,
thanks, guys. Thank you so much.
Hey, yes. We'll catch you on Friday. You. Eric Ryan, you're great. Mr. Sports, Ron Fantone, stay with us. And we'll see you tomorrow.
Yeah,
you tell me 10 seconds, and that's like 20 seconds.
All right. We'll be. Station.